to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
The Virginia Democratic Party, our governor wore blackface, our lieutenant governor is accused of rape, and our attorney general also wore blackface. But other than that, we're doing pretty good.
Big League Politics, the Trump-supporting website that broke both the Governor Northam blackface story and the Lieutenant Governor Fairfax rape allegations, because even an insane conspiracy theorist cuckoo clock is right twice a day.
And Virginia Governor Northam brand shoe polish. It doesn't come off easy.
I am Dave.
And I am Molly, and yet again we speak in low voices because we're white and ashamed.
President Trump spoke for an hour and a half in his State of the Union speech on Tuesday, but Barely Audible Whisper discovered that when we played the audio back, the entire substance of the speech is actually only one paragraph long.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman, because we hear he hates that.
The State of our Union is strong, except for the Democrats, who are socialists, just like in Venezuela. And brown people are pouring across the border with the crime and the drugs and the duct tape. Scary illegal brown people criminals are stealing all of our duck jobs. If Hillary Clinton were elected, we would be at war with North Korea. But I love Kim Jong-un, and he sent me a love letter. Socialism and hordes of illegal brown people are going to kill us all unless wall, which will be made out of beautiful, see-through, steel slats, because Trump is the best president for beautiful, see-through, steel slat jobs. Also, AIDS and cancer are bad.
The most memorable line from the speech was so bad that the silent disapproval registered on Speaker Pelosi's face could actually be heard out loud.
If there is going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation.
I roll.
Following every State of the Union speech, pundits speculate about how much of the speech was crafted by the speechwriters and which lines, if any, were written by the president himself. But that bad rap lyric is so dumb it could only have been written by Trump.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained audio of Trump trying to write that line.
I want to say witch hunt, but the only word I know that rhymes with witch hunt is Nancy Pelosi. But the only C word I want to use in this speech is socialism. What rhymes with investigation? Contemplation? No, I hate thinking. Ejaculation? No, I can't say ejaculate in front of Mike Pence unless his wife is in the room. Birth of a Nation? Great movie, but no. I'm also talking about war and peace. I know I could say, war, what is it good for? Absolutely not investigating Trump. Good God, yeah. I like that, but I think the guy who wrote that song is a black, but not a good black like Ben Carson, a bad black like all of the other blacks. Let's see. Legislation? Does legislation rhyme with investigation? Legislation. Investigation. Poetry is hard.
The most awkward moment of the speech came when President Trump accidentally praised the historic number of Democratic women elected in Congress in last year's election.
My economy is the greatest economy in the history of economies. More than 1,000,000,000% of the new jobs that I created, because I do the best job at jobs, went to women.
I can't believe he's trying to pass himself off as pro-woman. Wait a minute. Technically, he's talking about us. That dumb son of a bitch accidentally acknowledged the historic role women played in kicking his ass in the midterm election.
Wait, what's happening? Why are the women happy? I hate happy women.
Let's milk this.
No, you're not supposed to do that. Nancy, make them stop doing that. Aren't you the boss of them?
As was expected, Trump spent a lot of time talking about his signature issue.
Racism.
Immigration.
there are dangerous hordes of dangerous illegal aliens, which are the scariest type of aliens, not cute aliens like E.T., but like the aliens from the movie Alien. And these hordes of dangerous and scary from the movie Alien aliens are bringing drugs and crime, and they steal all of the jobs at all of the Trump properties. Illegal brown people aliens are super scary, and they have super illegal brown people alien strength, and the only force powerful enough to stand up to the super illegal brown people alien strength is randomly placed fencing made out of see-through steel slats.
President Trump's speech was followed by official Democratic response delivered by Stacey Abrams.
My fellow Americans, the exact opposite of everything Trump said. Thank you and good night.
The president claims his divisive speech was intended to unify, and we are pleased to report that the speech did achieve some bipartisan agreement, in that both parties agree that it contained the worst rap song ever recorded.
If there's gonna be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation. Word to your mother. Screw you, Pelosi. Bam, 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 bam,
bam. It has been a bad string of news cycles for Democrats in Virginia, as revelations that their governor wore blackface were followed by accusations that their lieutenant governor committed sexual assault, which was followed by revelations that their attorney general also wore blackface, leaving Virginians to wonder when the next shoe will drop.
For more on Virginia's perpetually dropping shoes, we sent our shoe-dropping correspondent, Penny Loafer, to Virginia.
Hello, I'm shoe-drop correspondent Penny Loafer, reporting to you from Virginia, where... Ow! Ah, a shoe just dropped out of the sky and hit me in the head!
Oh god, not another dropping shoe!
That's the state chairman of the Virginia Democratic Party, who, needless to say, is a little freaked out.
Governor Northam in blackface was a bad shoe to drop, and his press conference was worse than a dropping shoe. I got a concussion from being hit in the head with a steel-toe boot.
Indeed, the shoe dropping at Governor Northam's press conference was so bad, three people had to have stiletto heels surgically removed from their skulls.
Oh, but then I thought, everything's gonna be okay because the Lieutenant Governor Fairfax can take over, and he's a real popular rising star in the party. And the fact that we'd be promoting a black man to governor as a result of a white man wearing blackface seemed to have a certain poetic justice to it.
But then shoes rained down from heaven like God flooding the earth with footwear.
Turns out the lieutenant governor raped a woman. Allegedly. Probably. Maybe.
To be fair, Governor Fairfax maintains that the sex was consensual, and the woman, who remains anonymous, has not released a detailed account of her accusations.
Ow! A shoe just dropped out of the sky and hit me in the head.
This news just in. The victim has released a detailed accounting of the incident, in which she identifies herself and provides the type of credible and specific details that experts say are consistent with women who are telling the truth.
Ow! 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 So many dropping shoes! Ow! 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 Umbrellas are powerless against them! Ow!
What's next for Virginia Democrats?
Well, I guess the good news is that the Attorney General is next in Virginia's line of succession to become governor, and the Attorney General is also a Democrat, so... Ow! Gosh, shoe just dropped out of the sky and hit me in the head.
This news just in.
What now?
Virginia's Attorney General just admitted to having worn blackface.
Oh, for God's sake!
The shoes are dropping at a Category 5 level!
Ow! Ow! Ow!
The streets of Virginia are flooded with footwear!
Ow! Ow! Ow!
The governor has declared a state of emergency, but having lost all credibility, nobody believes his declaration. Which, ironically, is the cause of even more dropping.
Should have been a Republican.
I haven't seen this many shoes since I covered Imelda Marcos. And in a sign of just how dire the situation is in Virginia, I'm going to Florida, where things are less stupid.
Well, that's a crock.
The New York State Assembly recently passed an abortion bill that has everyone fired up about the issue like it's 1973.
This is not an abortion sketch.
Whew. Instead of talking about abortion, we're going to do what may well be the opposite.
That's right. Instead of debating whether or not it's just to expect a woman to surrender her body autonomy and risk her health in order to bring life into the world, because of course that's not just, we're going to explore the world of antinatalism, the belief that it is cruel to bring a life into the world.
A 27-year-old man from Mumbai, India, is planning to sue his parents over being born without consent.
For more on this, we go to our absurd beliefs correspondent, Sai Kobabble.
I'm Sai Kobabble, here with Dr. Grant Medeth, professor of philosophy at Grimm State University. Dr. Medeth, you specialize in nihilism, cynicism, and misanthrope. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Why focus on such a depressing field?
Life is misery, and many students haven't figured that out yet. They arrive wide-eyed and ready to change the world. I show them that nothing they do will ever matter, and that it is impossible to go through life without causing others tremendous pain. If I believed in pride, I'd be proud to say that many of my students contemplate suicide on a daily basis.
Okay. Well, I'm here to talk to you about antinatalism. You just introduced the world's first antinatalism course, so that makes you the foremost expert. What is antinatalism?
In essence, it is the belief that it is morally bad to procreate.
Why would you believe that?
Humans are the only beings conscious of our own mortality, and therefore are we the most miserable. We strive for justice and purpose, yet know that both are unattainable fictions. For well over half of our lives, we are deteriorating. If it is possible to be happy more than one is unhappy, there is no logical reason for it.
Have you considered spending more time in nature?
What?
I'm sorry, my last absurd belief segment was about people who don't believe in medicine.
There is no medicine for the human condition.
Okay. But don't we owe our offspring a chance to exist and have a good life?
Every child will either be more or less happy, or more or less unhappy. The parents of the more or less happy child had no moral duty to bring that child into existence, and their decision to have a child is morally inconsequential. But the parent of the more or less unhappy child violate their moral duty in having the child, and would fulfill their moral duty to not have that child. So, if you look at the full matrix of options, the only moral thing to do is to not procreate.
So you agree with the man who is suing his parents for giving birth to him without consent?
Yes. He is a pioneer. The parent has a child for their own joy, a selfish act. They should make retribution for their selfishness.
Retribution? Where do you get off, young man?
Shit! Why didn't you tell me my mom was behind me?
Because I would have no conceivable way of knowing what your mother looks like.
Was it selfish when I grew you inside my body? When I had severe vaginal tearing as you squeezed your head out?
Mom!
Was it selfish when I fed you from my own milk balloons, you little shit? They used to be so perky. I did that for you.
I just teach antinatalism, Mom. I don't actually...
Oh, great! You're just teaching a bunch of impressionable 20-year-olds whose poor parents are working 5 jobs each to put them through college that their parents are selfish!
I should probably leave you two to talk this out privately, but I want to see it.
It's an interesting philosophy is all. Isn't it worth considering that maybe continuing the human population's rapid growth isn't what the world...
So you want to tell all the moms out there that their sacrifice, all their sleepless nights worrying about every little thing that might hurt their precious babies was selfish?
Miss Medeth, did you know that there's a man suing his parents over his own birth?
He's doing what?
Yes, because he didn't give consent.
Of all the nonsensical hog hockey!
Your son called him a pioneer.
Please stop talking to her.
A pioneer of poop talk is what I say. Consent? Tell you what, you little fetuses. If you don't consent to be born, there's an umbilical cord right in there. Just wrap it around.
Jesus, Mom, that was dark even for me.
I'm sorry, Sugar Pumpkin. I didn't mean to put bad thoughts in your head. Mommy loves you.
Mwah. All right, well, I guess that was that. Until the next pioneer of poop talk comes along, I'm Sai Kobabble.
While most Americans were glued to their televisions watching Super Bowl Lee...
53.
ICE made a startling arrest in the host city of Atlanta. ICE announced that they had arrested local Atlanta rapper 21 Savage.
Did you say local?
Yes.
And ICE arrested?
Yes.
And ICE arrested an Atlanta local.
Yes, ICE announced that they had arrested local Atlanta rapper 21 Savage. We go now to a fictionalized interview with Mr. Savage. Oh, wait, I'm being informed that our cast is too white for an appropriate 21 Savage impression. Instead, we turn to our top America reporter, Arnold Benedict.
Thank you, Dave and Molly. I'm reporting to you pre-recorded days after the thrilling Super Bowl Lee...
53,
where ICE agents have announced that local Atlanta rapper 21 Savage is in fact a British citizen who has outstayed his visa since 2006. The news has rocked the Atlanta music scene, as Mr. Savage often spoke and rapped about being from the Zone 6 and at times referencing Decatur street gangs. A representative for Mr. 21 has... Yes?
Everybody freeze! This is ICE! Top American reporter Arnold Benedict is in fact known British turncoat Benedict Arnold, who has been outstaying his visa to the United States since at least 1781.
How dare you, sir? I'm the top American reporter of this parody podcast, and I will not be treated in such a manner of... I demand you release me, sir, or I'll unhand me, governor!
Mr. Arnold here will be detained and deported back to Britain and his original timeline.
So what do we do now?
I'm not sure. Benedict was supposed to do this entire segment. We could have some random celebrities call in and tell us what they think.
Good idea. Liberals love that.
Looks like we have one calling in already. You're on Barely Audible Whisper.
Yeah, this is Hugh Laurie, the guy who played House. Hang on a second. Hello?
I'm with ICE. We've heard reports of someone impersonating an American doctor in this neighborhood.
I gotta go. Also, Dave, you have lupus.
Moving on.
Wait, what was that last part?
Next caller, you're on Barely Audible Whisper.
It's simple. What if he had a WMD?
A WMD?
Yeah, and let's say we take him out on a hunting trip, and then you maybe kind of sort of shoot them in the face, and then he says sorry to you, and then...
Open up, bail. We know you're in there.
There's no bail in here. If you'll just excuse me while I return some videotapes.
That won't work. Not again, bail. Open up or we'll bring the door down. You've been at the top of our most wanted list of fake Americans for years. It ends today. He's not responding. Bring it down! Where is he?
Here.
Freeze, bail!
I know what you're thinking. Where'd I go? Over here!
Well, that sounded like a whole thing.
Yeah, this has gotten silly. End the segment.
Yeah.
Live fact-checking President Trump's State of the Union address presented a daunting challenge to fact-checkers tasked with keeping up with Trump's myriad false claims, misleading statements, and outright lies in real time.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained audio of a team of fact-checkers doing their best to keep up.
What we're about to do is almost impossible. We're live fact-checking President Trump's State of the Union address. That means Donald Trump speaking uninterrupted. For an hour and a half.
He lies too much. It can't be done.
Well, statement is unverifiable. We have no way of knowing whether or not it can be done because we have not attempted to do it yet.
It can be done and it will be done.
That statement is also unverifiable. We have no way to...
There is not time for your technically accurate but annoying point. We are about to fact check, in real time, a long speech by the biggest liar ever to hold the office of the presidency.
That checks out.
This is like the Super Bowl of fact checking.
Actually, this year's Super Bowl was quantifiably uneventful.
Stop doing that, it's annoying.
That checks out.
I'm scared.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman, because we hear he hates that.
That checks out.
The U.S. economy is growing almost twice as fast today as when I took office, and we are considered far and away the hottest economy anywhere in the world.
That doesn't check out.
The economies of Latvia and Poland grew twice as fast in 2018.
We have created 5.3 million new jobs.
No, no, that doesn't check out.
Added 600,000 new manufacturing jobs.
That doesn't check out either.
It's 4.9 million total and 454,000 manufacturing.
Something which everyone said was impossible to do.
That doesn't check out either.
That's three lies in one sentence. He lies too much. We can't possibly keep up.
Pull yourself together, damn it. America is counting on us.
The border city of El Paso, Texas used to have extremely high rates of violent crime.
That doesn't check out.
El Paso has never had a high crime rate and was never considered dangerous.
One of the highest rates in our entire country.
That continues not to check out.
And considered one of the nation's most dangerous cities.
That's more than three lies in one sentence. That's the same lie three times in one sentence, with each lie making the original lie bigger. I've never seen lying on this scale before. It's too much. We can't possibly keep pace.
We condemn the brutality of the Maduro regime, whose socialist policies have turned Venezuela from being one of the wealthiest nations in South America into a state of abject poverty and despair.
Good God, man, that one's impossible.
Maduro is a brutal socialist, yes, but the implied link between socialism and the collapse of Venezuela is beyond misleading. I mean, it's technically just misleading, but it's more misleading than the regular amount of misleading. It's like misleading squared.
We can't possibly contextualize everything that's wrong with that statement with a single blurb.
If anything, Maduro is a repudiation of Trump, the extreme worst-case scenario of an unstable narcissist making extremely irrational, poorly thought-through decisions.
Don't fall apart on me now, goddammit. This is no time for editorializing.
Yep, sorry.
That's the problem. It's fact-based editorializing to counter the president's false equivalency editorializing. At the risk of editorializing, having to editorialize the fact-check editorializing is pushing us to the unverifiable edge of verifying verifiable information.
That checks out.
If I had not been elected president, we would right now, in my opinion, be in a major war with North Korea.
What the hell?
There's no way that's true.
But it neither checks out nor doesn't check out.
It's an extremely unlikely hypothetical absurdity.
It's a lie so baseless we can't check its basis.
He beat us. The son of a bitch actually beat us.
That checks out.
As of this recording, Virginia Governor and living example of why white people need to study black history, Ralph Northam, is still refusing to resign over a photograph from his medical school yearbook in which he seems to be depicted as either a man in blackface or a KKK member.
Immediately after the photograph emerged on Friday, Northam issued both a written and videotaped apology for the pain he caused by appearing in the photograph. But then on Saturday, he denied being in the photograph that he had apologized for being in.
I am truly sorry for the pain I caused by being in this racist and offensive photograph, which I didn't cause because that's not me in the picture. But still, if it was me, I would be sorry. But I'm not sorry because it wasn't me, which isn't to say I'm not sorry, because I'm truly sorry.
Shut up, dear.
Northam's wife tried to rescue her husband from his own stupidity several times during the press conference, as she stood as physically far away from her husband as possible, while technically still standing by his side.
Northam's wife reminded her husband who Michael Jackson was when he volunteered without prompting that he once won a dance contest with his blackface tribute to the King of Pop.
At one point, she even had to remind her husband that it was inappropriate to do the moonwalk because she's married to an idiot.
One time, I was in a dance contest and I put shoe polish on my face. Shmo! Turns out, shoe polish is really hard to get off of your face. Hee hee! Shmo! But shoe polish is the key to a really great impression of... I want to say Ray Charles, but that's not right. Ugh, they all look alike.
Jackson. You're talking about Michael Jackson.
Right. Michael Jordan. Anyway, does anybody want to see me moonwalk like Ike Turner in the video for the hit song Billy D. Williams? Billy D. is not Bill Withers. They look alike
and they all steal and shoot girls.
Shut up, dear.
In an effort to entice Governor Northam to resign, Barely Audible Whisper hired him as a correspondent and sent him to Stone Mountain, Georgia's own racist Confederate monument and fun-filled theme park for children.
And in an effort to prevent him from embarrassing us, we made his wife go with him.
Ralph Northam here. Shemoa!
Shut up, dear.
Reporting to you from Georgia's Stone Mountain Park, where the state of Georgia converted a KKK-funded Confederate memorial in which the heroic images of Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, and Jefferson Davis, stoically mounted on horseback, is carved into the side of a mountain into a fun-filled theme park for children.
The state of Georgia is stupider than my husband.
A child's joy-filled day at Stone Mountain includes countless outdoor activities, a train ride, and the magic of a laser show in which the images of the three Confederate heroes are outlined in super cool lasers and then animated in the kind of cartoon cheesy heroics that enthrall impressionable children.
I don't know who these awesome laser men riding those awesome laser horses are, but whoever they are way more awesome than the ugly dude on the penny.
Question. How is it possible that a 25-year-old white medical student living in a state with a deep-rooted history of racial animosity could be unaware of the painful bigotry of blackface? Answer: Stone Mountain Park.
Oh, please tell me you're not trying to spin this to make white people the victim.
I talked to a white 25-year-old med student who brought his children to Stone Mountain Park for an innocent day of not racist fun.
You know, people make a big deal out of the fact that it was a KKK-funded memorial to slave owners who started a treasonous war that killed hundreds of thousands of Americans rather than accept the outcome of a free and fair election. But I have a lot of happy, not racist childhood memories here.
A fun-filled outdoor park shouldn't be connected to the Confederacy. It's unfortunate that you were manipulated as a child into a happy association with the wrong side of history, but as an adult, you have to come to terms with that.
But the galloping laser horses are so cool! A carving of a stoic general on a horse transformed into a crudely animated one-dimensional galloping sword-drawn cavalry hero is a really strong argument for state rights.
Look at me, Daddy! I'm an awesome laser general! Galloping on my awesome laser horse, using my awesome laser sword to fight for whatever the Confederacy is!
That's right, baby! Woo! Oh, they're so cute when they don't realize they're being emotionally manipulated into nostalgia for a whitewashed distortion of historical evil.
Shimon!
Hey, that's a really good impression of, what was his name? I wanna say Barack Obama? No, that's not right.
Michael Jackson.
Speaking of, I want to say Marcus Garvey.
Michael Jackson.
Martin Luther King once said, "If you're thinking about my baby, it don't matter if you're black or white."
That's a Michael Jackson song.
The point is, what are your thoughts on blackface?
Blackface has been used historically to dehumanize black people to justify and promote oppression, so I think it's wrong. Except, of course, in the context of a dance contest.
I'm done glorifying the awesome laser Confederacy. I want to play Michael Jackson!
Don't use too much shoe polish. That stuff's impossible to get out.
This guy gets me.
I hate white people.
This is Ralph Northam reporting to you from a KKK-funded Confederate memorial turned fun-filled theme park for children. And when you combine the manipulative nostalgia of a pro-Confederate laser show with the whitewashed American history we teach our children, is it any wonder that white people can be so oblivious to the pain we cause when we're too stupid to realize we're being racist?
No.
And isn't that the real tragedy?
No.
And aren't we the real victims?
No.
And if you're thinking about my brother, it don't matter if you're black or white. Hee hee!
Last week, Roger Stone, former advisor and closest thing to a friend to President Trump, was indicted.
Woohoo!
on multiple charges brought about by Special Counsel Mueller's investigation, which resulted in an early morning visit to Mr. Stone's Florida home by the FBI.
Woo-hoo!
After appearing at a short court hearing, Mr. Stone returned home, changed into a turtleneck and a blazer.
In Florida?
Yes. Mr. Stone addressed questions from reporters where he told The Hill that he believes the Mueller investigation to be a plot to oust Trump and make Hillary Clinton the president. What a ridiculous idea.
Shit. Roger Stone figured it out.
Figured what out?
It. The master plan.
Oh, God. What do we do?
Don't panic. This is why we made the escape plan.
I gotta call my wife.
There's no time.
But my family! Ow!
There's no time. Quick, destroy everything and let's go.
All right, let's go. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Knock out the panels.
Has anyone seen my Giuliani teeth?
I just burned the blue waste set.
Everyone get their beanies and their hoodies. Let's go.
Let's
go. Oh, my God.
I'm still here. Huh. I guess it really is possible to unwittingly participate in a conspiracy against America.
If there's gonna be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation. Word to your mother. Screw you, Pelosi.
Thank you for listening to Barely Audible Whisper, a NPR parody podcast made possible by the following people. Writer, co-host, and producer Dave Baldwin. Co-host and actress Molly Brown. Writer and actor Daniel Carter Brown. Writer and actor Michael Morgan. And actress Corey Burns. Please subscribe to us wherever you subscribe to your podcasts and follow us on all your social medias and tell all of your friends and even people they don't like that much how wonderful we are. We appreciate your support.
If there's gonna be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation.
That's right. Instead of debating whether or not it's just to expect a woman to surrender her body anonymity...
Autonomy.
That's right, I can't say words.
Babe, it's your body, you can pronounce it however you want.